Hello and thank you for listening to this week's episode of Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio. Hereabouts is produced by WFHB and Indiana University's Asian Culture Center. We ask critical questions about identity, culture, community, and shared assumptions. We air every other Wednesday from 5:30 to 6:30 in the evening. This is Joanna Kong. I'm a junior student studying media advertising and marketing. For today's episode, we are joined by several IU student organizations, including the Asian American Association, Thai Student Association, Vietnamese Student Association, Filipino American Association, Korean American Student Association, Myanmar Student Association, and Japanese Student Association at the night market event that happened last Friday.
Hi, can you introduce yourself a little and the organization you're in?
Yeah, hi. My name is Caitlin Wu. I am in Asian American Association, and I'm a junior this year. We're like an Asian American organization, but also it's like open to anybody to join and be a part of. But we do social events, cultural events, just like anything to kind of make Asian students, Asian American students, and also other people that want to learn more about Asian culture feel like they're included and like have a community on campus. So a big way that we do that is through families. So it's like little groups led by upperclassmen, and they'll put on like fun events, food events, like doing fun things, just so that especially freshmen and underclassmen feel like they have people on campus to like reach out to. And then we do a lot of events like night market. We'll do like a Lunar New Year in the spring, sports days, food things. We collab with a lot of organizations on campus. So yeah, we do a lot of stuff.
That's so fun.
So this is actually our first year that we've done like a night market event, kind of like modeling it off of like Purdue's night market. So we wanted to get all of these different Asian orgs together and like in one space and kind of showcase foods from each of their cultures. So really we're not the important ones in this space, like it's all of them wanting to like get the word out there about the orgs if people are interested in joining. We also have a lot of like cultural games and things, like we have like the shuttlecock, and then every we have origami and stuff, but then every org has their own like activity, and a lot of them are like games or things like that is important to that country or that culture. Yeah, and then also just like an opportunity for people from different orgs to like all kind of be together and like meet, especially if students feel like they're like stuck in one org, maybe this is a really good way to like step out of that and like meet new people. Yeah. So yeah, we hope it, I hope it went well. There's a lot of people here, which is awesome, but yeah, we had a lot of fun planning it, and we're hoping that this is something that can continue.
Yeah, my name is Allie. I'm a junior here at IU, and I'm the president of the Filipino American Association here at IU. We are a social and cultural organization, meaning that while we do focus on Filipino culture, we also do fun social events for people who are or are not Filipino.
Hi, I'm Auntie Pham. I'm a junior, and I'm the secretary for Vietnamese Student Association, and we're an org that's both social and cultural, where we're trying to create a welcoming atmosphere and community for everybody, and that isn't only just Vietnamese people. We want to include everybody and let them learn and experience Vietnamese culture for themselves.
Yeah, so we're TSA, which is the Thai Student Association at IU, and my name is Belle, and I am the co-president for this year of TSA. What we do at IU is we create a community for Thai folks or people who are interested in Thai culture to get together and know each other, and potentially we also have a lot of cultural events that we have planned for this year. So for example, you're here at the night market, which is in collaboration with AAA and other student organizations.
My name is Joyce, and I'm with the Myanmar Student Association at IU, and I'm the outreach coordinator here. So we're striving to unite students at IUB to contribute to campus life and also raise awareness about what's going on in Myanmar right now.
My name is Kame Quilling. I am a member of the Japanese Student Association here at Indiana University. We plan a lot of events highlighting Japanese culture to the community. We have food events as well as cultural events. We recently just had a Tsukimi event, which celebrated the moon viewing, which is also kind of similar to like Chuseok for Korean culture or the Mid-Autumn Festival for China.
Yeah, hi. So my name is Timmy Chang. I'm the co-president of CASA, which is the Korean American Student Association. We mostly just do kind of social events with our club, usually like Korean related or Asian related in general. So you guys should join there or look on our Instagram if you haven't heard about us already.
That's cool. Can you tell us a little bit about the dishes you have for us tonight?
Sure. So we have fried rice, we have crab rangoons, and also scallion pancakes. Since we are like Asian American, we just like kind of have a broad variety of things. So we don't really have like a dish that is like original to a country because we are like inclusive of like people from all Asian countries. Yeah,
so tonight we are serving pancit, lumpia, and ube cookies.
Can you tell us what's in it? What are these secret ingredients?
Secret ingredients, other than love, is soy sauce. And so pancit is our noodle dish. So today we have vegetarian pancit. So we just have noodle, and then we have green beans, carrots. And then in our lumpia, it's our version of spring roll. So we also just have a filling of carrots, cabbage, etc. And then our ube cookies are made of a purple yam called ube, and then they're just crinkle cookies, so they have powdered sugar on them.
Okay, so one of the dishes we have is misao ga, which is egg noodle chicken, and then we also have a vegetarian version, which is misao jai, and it's just a very like, it's a pretty basic dish, but because it's so basic, I'm sure like every Vietnamese person has eaten that dish before. It's honestly really easy to make. It's a staple. I always had it when I was like younger. I'm a bit of a picky eater, but if there was misao ga, I would eat that up. It's something that anybody can make. Like, you can source the ingredients at like your local grocery store and you can make it all yourself. The only thing I would say is like kind of unique is like the seasonings, which I would say you'd have to go to like an Asian grocery store for. I don't know the exact like seasonings because I never made it. My mom would always make it for me, but there's recipes online and TikTok and everywhere. And then the other dish we have is gomjinga, which is fried rice chicken, and then we also have a vegetarian version of that. And again, really like simple staple dish, like everybody has it. Like right out there we have like a variety of vegetables, but you can make gomjinga with, or gomjing in general, which is just fried rice, with anything you have in your home. Like, it's one of those dishes that is like, oh, I'm hungry, but I don't want to put in too much work. Let me just throw something together.
Sounds amazing.
So the dish we have in front of us is called chicken satay, which is a meat dish that is marinated, skewered, grilled, and then it's commonly served with peanut sauce, although we do have another sauce, which is sweet and sour with some onions in it. So the way you typically make it is very easy, is you put like some meat on a stick, and then you just really just grill it and skewer it.
We have samosas, or we call it samosas back at home, and we also have fish cake, but it's different from the fish cake you know, which is from Korea. This is a little more spicy and savory.
So we actually catered from Mama Duke's Hawaiian food, but a lot of Hawaiian food has some Japanese influence as well as other Asian influence. We provided spam teriyaki musubi, and that is kind of like a rice ball, but it's more square in shape. So the spam is usually caramelized in a pan with the teriyaki sauce, which is usually soy sauce and sugar, and sometimes they'll throw in mirin. And that's caramelized, then it's put on top of cooked rice, and it's formed into kind of a rectangular shape, and finally it's wrapped in roasted seaweed or nori. So that was the spam musubi. The other dish we have is chicken katsu, which it's really like a fried chicken cutlet. The breading is usually you take the chicken, kind of pound it out a little bit, then put flour to create like a adhesion to the chicken, then dip into egg, and then dip into panko, really like coarse breadcrumbs. Then you'll fry it. Usually a more deeper fry, and that makes it that kind of like deep fried golden chicken cutlet.
Yeah, so we brought two dishes. We brought mandu, which is fried dumpling, and then the other one is called kimmari, which is it's kind of like clear glass noodles that are wrapped in seaweed or kim in Korean, and they deep fry it.
Is it a national dish, the ones you've introduced?
No, so we're not serving the Philippines' national dish today. The national dish of the Philippines is adobo, which is a chicken dish, but we figured that noodle and lumpia would be easier to serve to a bunch of people.
Where did you get it from in Bloomington?
So we got it from a local business here in Bloomington called Pinoy Garden Cafe. We're very close with the owners, and they love to give, and we love to eat. So we always reach out to them whenever we need Filipino food, because they're amazing, and they're in the area, and they're always welcome to help us.
I wouldn't say it's like the iconic dish of Vietnam. I would say that's something like pho, which is like beef noodle soup. Or maybe like even bumbawe, which is like another rendition of a noodle soup, but it tastes, the seasonings are drastically different. But mee sao and gumjing, while they're not like our iconic dishes, it's like something that everyone's had before.
It's takes a lot of inspiration from Middle Eastern cuisine, so it's kind of similar to a kebab, though it is a little bit more simple. And you can typically find it in Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thai cuisine. But I believe it originates from Indonesia, which is very interesting because it just goes to show that Southeast Asia is heavily, their history and their cuisine is heavily intertwined, and that you can find commonalities across cultures very easily. I'm not entirely sure where it's from exactly in Thailand, but I will say it probably originated in the south of the country just because it's from Indonesia. So I'm assuming like people traded and merchants like sold stuff, and then they were able to experience eating chicken satay from Indonesia at that point in time. So chicken satay is not actually a national dish. Our national dish is probably pad thai, though that one is also really interesting because it's not originally Thai as well. It's inspired by a Chinese dish, and one of our prime ministers, he decided that we needed a national dish and chose that one and heavily pushed it to the public and to the entire world. So now we do have pad thai as our national cuisine.
Right. So a lot of people know samosas from India, and which is like understandable because we also like that's a dish we got from them as well, because we're neighboring countries. And so, but what's different is ours is a little less, there's a little less spice in it, more potatoes and whatnot. And sometimes we also use meat in it. It's not always vegetarian. And yeah, we just deep fried it. And for fish cakes, it's like fried fish, but with like spices like chili and stuff in it. So it's a little more
flavorful.
Yeah, that's a good description.
Oh, so you said the samosa is actually from India? Yeah, like it's so not a national dish?
Well, it is a national dish, but it's similar because we're neighboring countries. So our food is a mix of Chinese, Indian, and Thai. So because we're bordering with all of them, so it's a very unique and diverse dish. Yeah.
I would say most people probably wouldn't think of that when they think of Japanese food. I think a lot of people think of sushi or ramen. But I think they are quite popular. In fact, I would say chicken katsu is actually seen as like a foreign dish in Japan. They usually see it as something that came from foreign culture. But I think nowadays we think of the katsu kare, which is usually that cutlet. Sometimes it's chicken, sometimes it's pork on top of rice and curry. But to them, that's maybe an Indian dish, or I can't really think of the exact country they think of it as, but they usually would see that as a foreign influenced dish.
Where'd you say you got these dishes from today in Bloomington?
We got it from Mama Duke's Hawaiian barbecue or restaurant. I don't actually know if they're a food truck or a like established like with a building. But AAA actually connected us with them because we were struggling to find like what we wanted to bring to the night market, and they had that opportunity. And we thought that sounds like a really great way to, you know, highlight some Japanese food as well as highlight like a local Hawaiian restaurant as well.
This particular chicken satay, we got it from Bangkok Thai, which is a restaurant near College Mall. So they do great things and they have really good food. So I highly recommend going and checking them out sometime soon.
So there is actually a restaurant called Burma Garden. It's on 4th Street, International Street, and it's really, they provide us with a lot of food usually, and it's a really good restaurant, so you guys should check it out.
So we got them from Hoosier Soulmate. They catered for us, but my co-president Eunice, she actually works there, so if you guys see like a tall Korean girl, if you go to Hoosier Soulmate, you say hi, Eunice, and let her know you're from the podcast as well.
Okay. Can you tell us about the significance behind this dish to you personally and in general?
So I would say that the significance of ube is pretty prevalent. Like I said earlier, it is like a purple yam, and it's very a sign of the Philippines. So whenever there's a purple dish, half the time it's probably ube if it's from the Philippines. So that's something very important. And as well as that, to me, and as a Filipino, food is very important to my culture. As you give food to people you love, you make food for people you love, and so it's just a great way to share appreciation.
Yeah, I think I touched on it a little bit as I've spoken, but it's just like kind of nostalgic dish. I would eat this growing up, and again, I am kind of picky about what I eat, but these are the kinds of foods that like they would always have them at like little get-togethers at like family friends' houses, and like this is what I could eat no matter like what they're serving. Like I'd always go back to like misao or gumjing. Like you can't mess it up. It's so good.
So the significance of chicken satay is, like I kind of mentioned before, it just goes to show that there have been points in time where Southeast Asian culture has come together, grown apart, and now in each region we have our, in each, sorry, country we have different types of chicken satay and different versions of it, which is, I think, is a very interesting and fascinating aspect of culture. It's indicative of, you know, how a testament to how culture is and food is something that we all kind of share in common, even though we might not think that way. We might think like our food is like unique, but I definitely think there are influences of different regions in our chicken satay. So for us though, we typically use coconut milk, turmeric powder, and sugar, and light soy sauce to kind of marinate our chicken. And different regions have different ingredients that they marinate it with. For example, in Malaysia, they do it with blending shallots, lemongrass, garlic, and ginger. And apparently there is also Dutch chicken satay, because Indonesia was a former Dutch colony. So for them, it's they put on a lot of peanut sauce and sweet soy sauce called kepap manis. I think I'm pronouncing that okay. And they also have chili paste. And they serve it with french fries, which is interesting. I never thought to eat kebabs with french fries.
So samosas, we usually eat it for breakfast, actually. But it's more like a snack rather than a meal back at home. And you would see like street vendors selling it everywhere. It's just the smell, the taste, it just reminds me of home. And for the fish cakes, we usually either cook it in curry or we can also eat it fried. So that's more like a curry dish.
Musubi probably is also seen as kind of like a foreign influence dish. And we've served it at the restaurant that I used to work at that was a Japanese restaurant and grocery store. But they're kind of similar to onigiri, the rice balls, and they're usually seen as like a really quick like snack to grab, and very versatile in like what goes in it. But for spam musubi, it is spam almost always. And yeah, it's seen kind of as just like almost like a fast food, I would say. Not like fast in that way, but like a very convenient snack that's going to have a lot of sustenance.
So I would say the significance of like mandu, in general, I'm not sure. It's, it's a very popular street food in Korea. And so, it can kind of like represent Korea in some way, but, at least for me, the significance of mandu is that it reminds me, a lot of my grandma. She makes the best mandus. She'll like hand make them at home, put a lot of meat in them, because she, knows I like, kind of beef and things like that. So she'll, make them for me. And I mean, it's better than my mom's, better than my aunt's. Like, my grandma makes the best ones. And then for kimari, it's actually ate a lot with this other street food called tteokbokki, which is spicy rice cakes. And so, no significance there, I don't think. Like, for me, like, my mom will make them for me at home once in a while.
All right, last question. If you were a dish from your country, what would you be?
That is a very interesting question. I would say lumpia, just because it's very versatile. You can put anything in the filling, and I feel like some days I can be I could be a different type of lumpia depending on how I feel.
Oh, that's a tough question, but I'll say banseo, because like it's this banseo is like a type of savory pancake made in Vietnam, and you fry it and you put in like shrimp and scallion and just like anything you want, basically. But I keep it simple, and I think that's just like, again, nostalgic dish, super yummy. Also, it's fried, so it's like, I love that.
And my favorite cultural dish from my home country definitely has to be our papaya salad, because I think it's very unique, and it's also really fun to eat because you eat it with sticky rice, and then you can dip the sticky rice in the soup, and it's just a fun time, and there's so many different flavors you can come up with. So yeah.
Oh, I need to think on that one. I would probably say, honestly, onigiri, I have talked about that a lot, but when you look at onigiri, you sometimes wouldn't know the filling just looking at it, because it is the rice and the nori, the roasted seaweed sheet. You can't see what the filling is, and sometimes it's tuna mayo, or sometimes it's salmon, or sometimes it's chashu pork, and I think maybe looking at me, you wouldn't know, like, oh, what is she like? Or you might have, like, I seem like a blank canvas, but there's something else. Like, oh, this is my personality, is it usually contained inside?
So the dish I would be is heolleongtang, which is, it's like ox bone soup. But it's popular for drinking kind of or eating when you're hungover or you need some kind of comforting food, something that will warm your stomach. And so if I were to represent a dish, I would be ox bone soup, because I think, I want to be like that soup. I want to provide warmth to my friends and families.
I'd be lepeto, which is a tea leaf salad made up of a lot of different nuts, leaves, whatnot, tomatoes, because I'm diverse. I have a lot of personality, and and if you mix everything together, it's a good combination. It's just like me. Just, yeah, wait, sure. Wait, I saw
it. No, it was amazing. All right, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio. Hereabouts is produced by WFHB and Indiana University's Asian Culture Center. We ask critical questions about identity, culture, community, and shared assumptions. We air every other Wednesday from 5:30 to 6:30 in the evening. Please stay tuned for our future episodes. This was Joanna Kong, and we hope you enjoyed this week's episode.